Welcome to the Carve a Monster Hunter podcast, where you can bone up on hunting monsters, episode 115. I'm your host, SBJ.
I'm Micah.
Iceborne is here.
It's here. We made it.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. I don't know how that song goes. It's been 1 week since Iceborne has come out. And we've played it, and the internet has played it, and quieter launch in the sense of like Monster Hunter fans, because Monster Hunter fans are very hype, but a quieter launch in the sense of like the gaming world. I think Monster Hunter was everywhere in the news when World came out.
Sure.
And I don't think that Iceborne has had that same reaction, but it is technically an expansion.
Yeah.
Kind of makes you wonder if they would have done like a full release, like a Generations Ultimate or a 4 Ultimate.
Technically, it is its own release.
Yeah.
Like, you have to. So, full disclosure, we graciously got codes from Capcom for Iceborne to download the game. And I downloaded it, and wasn't 100% sure, I guess. I was like, oh, maybe it'll just update the current Monster Hunter World application on my PS4, right?
Uh-huh.
Because it's an expansion.
Yes.
But it didn't. It's just a completely separate application.
I don't know what happened with your PS4, because mine updated my game.
Oh.
Mine is not a different application.
Maybe I missed that. I guess. I don't know. Also,
I had to download mine on two PS4s. I have one in my office and one in my living room. And when I went to click on Monster Hunter on the office one, it said, like, Iceborne starting to download. But then it replaced that application when it was done.
Weird. Maybe I missed that. I don't know. I definitely at one point had both on my like crossbar.
Was one the beta?
No.
Okay.
It was not.
Because I deleted that. That was like 16 gigs I didn't need.
But also the like trophy set is different. It's not like, so like for previous games like Destiny or any other game that has had an expansion, usually what they would do is they would have the like core trophy set for the core game, and then they would have an additional like subsection that was for whatever expansion for that game. So the trophy data is like a separate game. And I was looking at that today because I was thinking, oh, I didn't finish. I wanted to 100% get the platinum trophy for Monster Hunter World, which I haven't done yet. I was thinking, so what happens then if I'm playing Iceborne and it's using that active trophy data, but I'm doing things that would give me a trophy for Monster Hunter World? Does that make sense? Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I know what you're saying.
So I guess I don't understand how that interacts. But it's like a completely, I don't know, it's a very sort of different thing than just like, it's DLC. Because it's not really just DLC, I guess.
Downloadable content.
It's somewhere in a weird realm between DLC and its own release.
It's like weird because we play other Pokemon games. We play other games. I'm about to say Pokemon. Where we play other games that people wish they had DLC, like Pokemon. Whereas like Red and Blue came out and then Yellow came out, and you could argue that Yellow is just the same game as Red and Blue, just with like some extra content.
Sure.
Or the same with like Gold and Silver, and then Crystal came out and it's like, well, we added a female character that you can play as, and we added a Suicune story mission. But otherwise, for the most part, it's the same game. Monster Hunter was doing that for a long time where it was like, well, at least in America, where it was like, well, I guess in America, we never got the first one. We only got the better one. So it'd be like Japan getting Pokemon Red and Blue, and then us getting Yellow, and then Japan getting Gold and Silver, and then us getting Crystal. that's how it was working.
Right.
Then you think, like, why do they keep just releasing two games? Just update the current game. And now we got the update. And now I'm like, maybe I like the old system better. I can't tell yet. I do.
I mean, I like this. I like the way this works. And it feels more fluid than just, like, releasing the same game, but with certain levels of added content. Like G rank or master rank, it feels more fluid having like here's a whole new expanded story mode that breaks you into master rank rather than just like, I don't know, here, do these quests and eventually you'll get there. Yeah, it's like a weird limbo between an ultimate version and just like a DLC update. Because it's not really either.
It's still good, though.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
It's real good. I just...
I don't have... That's not a complaint about it. It's just...
We figured we would talk about it more. Because it is different.
Yeah.
No, it felt good starting Iceborne with your character that you've put so much time into.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, oh, yeah, when I logged in, I was... Because the only Monster Hunter I've played recently was the beta stuff. The beta, and then, you know, at PAX, which was the beta, and then the second beta they did. And it was, you're just playing with a preset character. Updating the game and logging in and being like, seeing my character in my Kol'Thoroth gear. My glimmery gold cloak that I'm wearing. And I was like, oh yeah, this cloak is real good. Like, that was great.
Yeah.
I guess this episode we're just going to talk specifically about our thoughts on Iceborne. I don't think we're gonna get spoilery. We'll probably just talk about the first couple monsters that you fight. So probably just a warning if somebody doesn't want to be spoiled for the story or what monsters are to come. Although I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a hardcore enough Monster Hunter fan that you've probably already beaten the game by now. I have not. I didn't actually start playing until pretty recently because, both you and I were out of town for the weekend.
We were.
But
I've been on a marathon of travel where I've had just a handful of days where I haven't been on the move since about August. So I've been doing a lot of, like, in the meantime, trying to catch up on actual work and also trying to like keep up with Monster Hunter.
Well, you are the story guy. I don't care at all about Monster Hunter story. We all know my thoughts on the handler, but what did you think of the opening of the game?
I thought it was good. I mean, I feel like it was pretty much exactly the way that we knew it was going to go from the trailers and such. Like, something is happening that's leading things across the ocean.
Legiana specifically.
A new area, yeah. A whole slew of Legiana flying across the ocean to a new island and trying to figure out why and what's causing them to migrate. What's calling them. And so then you everybody packs up, goes to check it out, and they discover a whole new island that was sitting just miles from them and this whole time, and they didn't even know.
Yeah, just...
Granted, it's like shrouded in snowy mist, so it's understandable.
Yeah, I mean, you can build a Dragonator, but can't see
across the ocean.
Yeah, can't be understandable. I was super surprised. How you fight Beatois first? I mean, it's not like revolutionary or like that mind blowing. I was just like, oh, I really expected Manbaro to be here first.
Well, it's like, I mean, we don't really have like a Great Jagras or a Kulu Yaku, like for specific to Hoarfrost Reach, right?
Yeah, I guess I thought
Beatotis is the bottom of the ladder as far as Hoarfrost Reach.
I thought Banbaro would have been.
Nah, because it's like it's the they're like the equivalent pair of Gyarados and Baroth in the Wild Spire Waste, but in the Hoarfrost Reach. Like,
yeah,
Bonbaro is the Baroth, and I keep wanting to call it Zamtrios. It's not Zamtrios. Beototus is Gyarados. Like, that's, they interact the same way. Beototus wraps around, jumps out of the snow and wraps around Bonbaro and takes to the ground.
Copying and pasting animations again. Well, wait, know. Different franchise. Hold on.
It's so it's like those two interact, but the superior predator is the Bonbaro, at least by a little bit. And so it makes sense that it has you fight like the lowest rung on the ladder first. It's just that it's like, we do have Master Rank Great Jagras and Kulayaku and all that, but it would be kind of boring if they started the game off with like, okay, now go fight a Great Jagras again, except this time it's a little bit harder.
That I'm really happy about in a weird way, that the game, I'm going to say this and people are going to be like, ugh, you're just bad at the game, which is true. That is a fact. I am very bad at Monster Hunter, but I was delighted that the game starts off pretty difficult. Like, I carded once against Beatois when I fought it. But man, I was in that hunt for like 40 minutes. I was just like, I wasn't prepared for this. I didn't have any potions or traps or bombs because I didn't think that I would be dropped in to fight you right away. And I'm stubborn and I don't want to go back to the tent. I'm already out in the field making this harder for myself. I feel I have the wrong weapons, or not, well, wrong ailments, I guess, types. But I guess that makes sense. Like, it would be probably, I don't want to use the word disrespectful, but the people playing this expansion have beaten your game. So to make the beginning of your game easy is probably a disservice to those people. And maybe easy is not the right word, but.
Sure. No, I get what you're saying. I will say, though, so as far as I got in the game, I did like the first three hunts and then I started doing optional quests because that's kind of just how I play. I got to a point where I was realizing that I need better gear, which hasn't happened to me in Monster Hunter World in a while. So I started doing some optional quests and I did one of them was to fight a Master Rank Great Jagras, and it was, I went in a little cocky and it wasn't like hard really. I mean, it's Great Jagras, so it's a lot of the same patterns and like nothing, it feels more spongy, so it like took a lot longer, and the like hostility between monsters in the ecosystem seems a little bit higher. So,
oh yeah, I wanted to talk about that. My Beatois and and my Bonbaro, they would not leave each other alone ever. Like, every time they ran away, I'd like turn the corner to chase them, and then they were both fighting each other every single time. Where I felt like in World, you would see maybe one, maybe two turf wars in a hunt, and I saw probably five or six. In my time of hunting Bonbaro, they're really on top of each other in this game.
Oh, yeah. I had, at one point, I had three monsters all fighting each other at once.
Really, like, turned up
I'll get to that when we get to discussing the monsters, or what we fought. But, yeah, the hostility is much, much higher.
Again, another thing that surprised me, I wasn't expecting, but I absolutely love. There's a lot of things about this game I love. I should just start listing them. Is I really expected to go through Iceborne's story as like a story, and then when you're done with the story, that Master Rank would open up. I 100% expected that, and I don't know why.
Sure.
Maybe because like I played past Monster Hunter games like Double Cross, where it's like, oh, you got to do all this, And then once you do all this, then you get Master Rank. But they Master Rank unlocks with Iceborne. So you're Master Rank 1 when you start the game. And I don't think after the hunts I did, I've gone up a rank at all. I'm not sure when that triggers, but I don't know. There was something that was like, oh, we're here. We're there. Like, it's, I don't have to worry about like beating the story and then kind of recycling hunts to just get this number to be higher.
Yeah, it's good. It's definitely, I don't know. I guess I wasn't sure really either how quickly it was going to open up or how quickly it would be advancing or whatever. But yeah, I agree. I'm happy that you can advance as you go through. Which I guess makes sense. Like, the whole idea is that everything's Master Rank, so you would hopefully be getting Master Ranks as you're playing through the story. It would be maybe a little bit, not a bummer, but like a little bit lackluster if you booted up the game and it was like, okay, welcome back. Here's some more high rank stuff to do for about 10 hours before you can... do Master Rank. All in all, I guess what I'm saying is the way that they executed the progression of the game from like the second you start, the monsters that you fight, the monsters that you start with, how your rank progresses, everything was handled very, very well. It feels very fluid.
Tell me about Celiana. I think I said that right.
It's great. It's really lovely. My wife Becky was watching me play through the initial like first part of when you first get introduced to Celiana and you're walking through, and she said it looked really cozy. I showed her the Grand Meowster Chef and the animation of all of the cats making the food. She was very excited. Yeah. It's a good zone. There was one thing that I had a little bit of trouble with. I'm curious if you did this or not. So one of the first things that you do when you get to Celiana is you like walk out of the little area, and right at the entrance to the like greater Celiana expanse, there's the Wyvarian that gives you the camera, right?
Camera.
I can't remember what they call it in the game.
I don't know if I got...
Something capture device, whatever it is. It's the camera.
I don't know if I... If I did get it, I might have skipped over it.
Okay, so you get the camera. They show you how to use it, give you a little tutorial, and then he tasks you with taking a picture of him. And I got locked into this. So the way that it worked was... It pulled up like a tutorial and then immediately opened the camera for you where you were standing, asked you to take a picture of him, and you couldn't really move aside from like zooming in and out and reframing and so on. But I couldn't move backwards, and I think I was too close to him so that none of the pictures I took were like eligible pictures to complete the tutorial.
Okay, because yeah, so I didn't do any of this.
The only other option I had was to just back out of the tutorial completely to try to like reposition myself. But if I did that, then it just ended the tutorial. So it got to a point where there was nothing else I could do. So I just backed out, and they were like, "Okay, well, anyways, thanks for doing the tutorial. Here's your camera." And I felt a little bit cheated that I didn't get to like actually. Do like finish the tutorial the way that it wanted me to, but there was nothing I could do about it.
Yeah, I've not seen this camera guy. They
it's
did
like
the
right when you start in Celiana, right as you're like walking out into the open air. He's kind of waiting by the. I mean, if you check your like exclamation marks.
Yeah, I'm sure I missed a couple. Saw that they merged the. The harvest people and the what was the other thing? They merged those
Argosy?
Two together.
The Argosy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't. Did they do that in the main area of Celiana or just the gathering hub?
The main area is where I saw it.
Oh, okay. They do that in the gathering hub too. It's all in one spot.
This
new gathering hub is great.
The new gathering hub is great. The I lost my mind with the cat stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's really you cute. Cat spa thing is super cute and really adorable. And I wish there was just a million times more of those things in Monster Hunter.
Yeah. There are other things in the area, like the there's a handful of things in the gathering hub that you can do. I don't know if you want me to spoil them for you.
No, not yet.
All right.
I
will say, I'll just tell you what areas are there so you can go and look at them.
Okay, hit me with them.
You or the listener. You went to the foot bath, which is where you saw the cat animations. You just put your feet in the little bath. You and your cat can interact. You can dip your cat's feet into the bath. You can play with your cat. It's really cute. There's also a sauna.
I haven't gone to the sauna.
Okay, go check out the sauna. And there is also a like hot spring, like just a big hot spring that you can go and sit in and like not just dip your toes in.
Okay, I haven't gone there yet either.
All very good. There's also a new, you know how in the old gathering hub they had the arm wrestling and you could waste time by doing by arm wrestling each other. The hot spring has a new game. I won't tell you what it is.
Okay.
You can go and check it out.
Okay, cool, cool.
I just like, it's just such an improvement on the old gathering hub. You can do literally everything and it's great. You can get to the smith, you can get to your resource box, you can get to everything. It's really good.
So I've gotten to Viper, Toby, Kadachi. I think I hunted both Banbaro and Beatois like twice. So I kind of spent a little bit extra time in the expedition overworld.
Okay.
Than probably needed, because I think you only have to hunt them each once. But because Beatoetus and Banbaro kept fighting each other, I was like, well, the other one's probably pretty weak. I'll just go ahead and finish them off. Oh, wait, they're really not that weak. I'm going to be here for 20 minutes. but I almost have a complete set of the Beatoetus stuff, so I guess that's probably okay.
Yeah. That's probably a good use where I'm at, too.
Do the fuel minigame?
I did.
I was watching a streamer who put like 8,000 fuel in, and he was doing it for like 2 hours straight.
Oh man!
And I was like,
"Was that Seth?"
It was Seth, yeah.
Seth Orend.
I put like 80 in, and I was like, "When does this end? Why is this so long? I don't know what I'm doing." But it gives you a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, it does. Did you hit the jackpot or whatever, the like overdrive?
I think so, yeah, because it turns like gold at one point and then it gets like really red.
Yeah, and well, so like the overdrive happens, it's like when you get the cutscene of all of the cats throwing the coal into the thing, and
yeah I got
throwing
that.
Yams in,
I think I got
and
that
and then it blows up.
There's a lot of cats dancing at one point.
You get a trophy for it, which I was. You get a silver trophy, which I was surprised by. But yeah, I think it's probably more likely that you're able to do that kind of right away because it. I think the idea is like, oh, here's because they give you what is it, a dragon something ore. Dragon coal. I can't remember the name of it. They give you some coal right when you first interact with the guy who runs the Steamworks, that lets you convert it into fuel, and I think it immediately gives you like 500 fuel just by using that one thing.
Oh, I think I didn't use that. I just like looked in my inventory and I was like, I have a lot of this, so I'll put some of this in.
Oh yeah. So the thing that they give you, I think, is intended to be like, okay, here's a thing, now use it for to like try it for the first time, because it gives you a lot of fuel to work with. So I was in the same boat where I was like, this is really long, but it also I also put a ton of fuel in it, so it made sense that it was a lot longer, I guess, than just like maybe what you would do normally, where you would just throw in like, here's a little bit of fuel for a couple things that I have because I have some time and I want to get some items. But it really was cranking out the rewards. It was good. So I feel like by giving the player that thing that gives you like a ton of fuel right away to try it, it gives you the opportunity to like go all the way through to the point where you can get the like overdrive or whatever it's called. So that like the intention is you experience it all at once, maybe. It was real good though. I did the Beototus.
Uh-huh.
I did the Bombaro. And I did the Viper Toby Kadachi.
Okay.
Viper Toby Kadachi. You said you got to it, but you didn't actually complete it yet, correct?
Yeah, I wanted to see what the... I was, like, really tired, but I was like, I wonder what the next monster is. And then I, like, activated the cutscene. And I was like, oh, cool, it's Toby. And then it hit me, and I was poisoned. And I was like, oh, I didn't bring any poison stuff for this. And then I was like, okay, maybe I can do this. And then it hit me again. And then I carded. And I was like, you know what? It is. We're done for the night. I'll come back tomorrow. I know what to expect now, but I'm excited. I like Toby Kadachi a lot.
It's good. It whooped my butt up and down the Hoarfrost Reach. But this was the hunt where I had the Viper Toby Kadachi hunt was the hunt where I had the three-way turf war that seemed to go on for a very long time.
Was it fighting Banbaro and Beototus?
It was not.
Oh.
Actually. Uh-oh. It was fighting, I think, Banbaro. Viper Toby Kadachi was fighting Banbaro, and then out of nowhere, a Fulgur Anjanath showed up.
Oh, jeez. That sounds awesome.
So I just let them all do their thing, and I stood back and didn't want to get involved.
I think my favorite monster so far in Iceborne is the load time.
It's a good monster. It's a nice, quick hunt.
By quick, it's very, very long. I don't remember Monster Hunter World having such long load times. I don't know if it's the amount of like snow equals waiting longer.
It's got a lot of graphics to generate,
but it's like that. That is probably the main complaint I've heard in the last week from other publications talking about Iceborne, or just like other Monster Hunter players. And you kind of hear that hand in hand with, I can't believe the PC release is 6 months out, or not 6 months, but 5 months. And I can't believe the load times are so long, because obviously ideally your PC or PC players have significantly less load times because of the bottlenecking that the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One have. When people were saying, the load times are that bad, I'm like, I'm used to Destiny. I'm used to like Final Fantasy 14. I'm used to, you know, all these games. The load times can't possibly be this bad.
Yeah.
Oh, they're bad.
Surprise. Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been anything really that I've like, I don't know, maybe I'm just easier to please, but it hasn't been anything that I've been like, I guess I would have really paid a ton of attention to on my own without like hearing people talk about it. But I mean, once I heard people talk about it, then I noticed it. But on my own, I was just kind of like, okay, I mean, it's not like 10 minutes for a quest to load or anything.
No, it's just noticeable. But like you could probably get up and go to the bathroom and come back and still make it in time.
Yeah.
We do have some Monster Hunter news here. This is off Destructoid. We talked about this last week. Rajang is back, or will be back. But we have an actual date now. It will be joining Iceborne on October 10th. It was originally debuted in 2006, Monster Hunter 2. A Rajang is arguably one of the franchise's most frightening creatures, according to Destructoid. I would probably say that's accurate. But yeah, there it is. October 10th, it's back. People are excited.
It's back.
Insert new skeleton talk here and new skeleton talk there. For whatever it's worth.
I did see some... I saw last night when I was on Twitter. It was kind of late. Something in Japan, maybe at Tokyo Game Show? Tokyo Game Show is going on right now, right?
I think so, yeah. I think that's where it was announced.
I think at Tokyo Game Show, Gaijin Hunter was there. And I believe that they were demoing Rajang at Tokyo Game Show. Like, you could go and play it. So I think that there were some people on Twitter who were, like, showing off gameplay of Rajang in action. And it sounds like it's got a lot of new moves.
It is happening right now, yep. It started last night.
Okay. And I think at one point there was maybe a live stream, but it's always so hard when there's, like, a Japanese live stream because I don't know really where to get it or, where like, what time to watch it because...
Time zones are hard.
Time difference, yeah. But yeah, it seems like it's got new moves. Seems like it's a lot more intense. And it seems all good.
You know what else seems good? This is off pushsquare.com. Monster Hunter World Iceborne shifts 250,000 units on PS4 in Japan, not counting digital sales.
Ooh, that's a lot.
So that's only Japan. We don't have, as the least of this podcast, we don't have U.S. numbers, but 250,000 in a week. Physical copies only, which is...
That's big numbers.
Pretty good. Although Japan loves their physical stuff. They're still buying CDs out there.
I like to have a physical copy of certain games and franchises that I am a big fan of. I have a physical copy of just about every Monster Hunter game, and I'm sure when Black Friday rolls around, probably get myself a physical copy of Iceborne, just to add to the shelf.
Yeah, seems good. Seems good. Everything about Iceborne is real good. I enjoyed my time traveling this past weekend, but I just haven't had enough time to play Iceborne. But my first, I might have played, probably put 4 hours into it so far as of this recording, which is like nothing. But I coming off of Dauntless, where I probably did, I don't know, 12 to 15 hunts in 4 hours, because Dauntless is so quick.
Yeah.
To doing only like 4 hunts in Iceborne.
Right.
There is still something about a longer, more thought out hunt that is very satisfying. But there's also something about a very quick, like 15-minute get in there, get out hunt that is also satisfying. But
can I play the Honesty game right now?
Yeah.
This is gonna make me sound like a bad Monster Hunter fan. Let me explain myself.
Oh,
in
no.
Detail.
This is how we're going to end the show.
I feel like it's a good thing to talk about, though, because, I mean, we're sharing our opinions as people. And it's not anything against the game itself. It's just my personal interactions with it. So we got our copies early before we went on vacation for our friend's bachelor party. And we got it literally the first day that we were out of town and had no PS4s around us. And I feel like maybe if I had gotten it then, I would have been like, and I was at home, we weren't traveling, I would have been like, load it up, I'm ready to go, let's do it. I'm going to spend the whole weekend playing. But when I got back, I had it downloaded. Granted, I have been dealing with some illness.
Yeah.
The last few days. When I got back, I was really, really hesitant to start it. And it was almost like this anxiety of like, I know that I'm going to sink a lot of time into it. And I've played so much of World that I don't know. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's out right now. There's a lot of stuff on the Switch that like, it might be nice to just like lay on the couch. I'm not feeling great. I, in between like working and catching up on work, just play something for a little bit. And then get back to doing whatever I'm doing. Don't really have to move. I can have whatever I'm watching up in the background. But it's different with Monster Hunter because you do have to like have, at least for when you're starting a story or you're starting a hunt that you've never done before or something like Master Rank where you know it's going to be harder than, you know, previously in World where high rank was the maximum and you could just jump into a high rank hunt and do something in the matter of, I don't know, 15 minutes, 10 minutes. I knew that it was going to be a longer drawn out process. And there was almost this anxiety of, if I start it, I know that I'm going to like get really dedicated to it and it's going to eat a lot of my time. And there was this hesitation of like starting it because of that. So I didn't even really get to playing until maybe like a couple days ago.
Yeah. I can say that I 100% agree with you. And I felt the same way of like, you, because you can't just put like 20 minutes into Monster Hunter.
Right.
I was like, ah, I just want to see, you know, I'll just see the first opening story. I'll just, you know, I'll just knock out Beatotis real quick. Like, that's just not right. Realistically possible. Because like once you, even if you were to like, I'll just hunt one monster, like you're immediately dropped into Celiana and there's all that new stuff to see.
Yep. Yeah. And there's a lot to it. And I got through the first time I started playing, I got through the intro area, I got through the Beatotis hunt, and then I saw Celiana and walked around and cleared out all of the exclamation marks. And I did have this like, it's almost like I don't have the energy to do more right now. And I really want to because I'm really excited. This is really exciting that this is out finally. But also I had my like energy and commitment to it was so low initially. And I'm finally now starting to like get into that swing of like, I went to bed last night thinking about it. I woke up today thinking about like, I don't really want to do much else today except like grind out some gear and advance the story and advance my rank so that I can get to new things. And I'm finally now getting to that point. But there was like a weird initial, I don't know what else to call it, but like anxiety about like, or like almost like a burnout, like before I even started playing
out of the game before starting.
I don't know how else to describe it, but it was like, almost like I felt like my energy was just so low to commit to it because of how much I knew I had to do or how much or how long I knew it was going to be. And I couldn't just like, I mean, you know, and some of the people who maybe follow me on Twitter know that I'm a big fan of the Picross games, and it's much easier for me to like take a 10-minute break and just play a couple Picross puzzles and then go back to what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Dedicate a good hour and a half break to like, I got to do a hunt and then I got to go through like the cutscenes. I got to clear out my exclamation marks. I got to like grind some gear for the next thing. But now I am getting to that point where I'm like, it's all I'm really thinking about again.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a point in Monster Hunter where your gear and your skill level are so good that you can knock out a hunt in, you know, 10 minutes. But.
Oh, yeah. But when you're just starting Master Rank.
Yeah, when you're just starting a brand new difficulty and fighting brand new monsters, 10 minutes, probably, you're probably on a whole different skill level than your average player.
Yeah. And your gear's just not good, which has like been the struggle.
Yeah. So if this is your first time listening to the Carve, we do this every Thursday. eventually it comes out sometime on Thursday, sometimes early in the morning, sometimes in the afternoon, just depending on the recording schedule. Hopefully you enjoyed. We didn't want to get too spoilery in Monster Hunter because as of this recording, the game's not even a week old yet. So we will definitely be back next week, probably with some more in-depth thoughts on Monster Hunter. But I think our initial impressions are pretty positive.
Yeah. And we have like a weekend that we can.
We're home now. We're both home this weekend together. We can probably do hunts together. If you're a Patreon person. If you back us on Patreon, the new guilds will be made this week, if not on this weekend, but before this weekend, and then I'll start inviting you all. Just we play on PS4, so I feel so bad for our Xbox players.
Yeah.
And PC players are probably playing different games right now. They got a couple months to wait, so.
Yeah. And we do have a couple people in the Discord that do hunt on Xbox. So maybe we can find somebody that can maybe get like a group, a carve group going.
I know
on the Xbox side.
I know Will, who has filled in for either one of us when we're missing. Mm-hmm. he does have Monster Hunter on both PS4 and Xbox. I want to say he put more time into Xbox just because of his playing group.
Yeah.
So he just moved, though, so I don't think he's even started Iceborne yet.
He doesn't have a TV, the last I heard from him. He left his TV at his old place when he moved.
Yes, he didn't want to bring his TV with. I was trying to talk him into a TV. I was like, look, you can get this 55-inch LG for $350. Just pull the trigger, man. Yeah, I think he's looking into just a really nice monitor that he can just computer game and PS4, Xbox game on one. Anyways,
yeah. we do have people that I think we can probably get organized, someone to have a an Xbox squad.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do. But
PC, you're out of luck till next year.
But definitely thank you for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed. We'll be back next week. Hopefully, like I said, if you're listening and you're playing Iceborne, I'm assuming you're having a good time with it, but you can follow us on Twitter at Carve Podcast is the podcast. CarvePodcast.com is the website for the archive of episodes. Micah is at Micah the Brave. I am at Dragging a Lake on Twitter. Wherever you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, we're there.
Podler.
if we're not on your favorite podcast service, just let us know. We will be back next week. Hunters, keep on hunting those monsters
and keep on carving those master rank monsters. I don't know. Just keep playing the game. It's really good. Keep playing it.
A quick shout out to our Life Powder patrons. I don't know why you support as much as you do, but thank you. Shout out to Brandon, Bastion, Chris, Henley, and Armored. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like to support the Carve, you can do so over at patreon.com/carvepodcast. Hopefully you enjoyed the episode, but yeah, thank you for listening. Super appreciate it, and we'll see you guys next week.